There's something I'd like to go ahead and put out there. And the name of our sermon today is When God Does Not Answer Prayer. When I was given the advice long ago when I wanted or felt the call into God's kingdom, into God's work, in the ministry, I was given the advice by the college. They said, preach out of your abundance. Preach how God is speaking to you. And I can just, let's just go ahead and put this out in the open. I've been praying all week. And now listen, that's no different than what most of us do. We stay in a constant state of prayer. But I've never stayed in prayer on the petitioning of other people like I have been this past week. We've had people with cancer. We've had people traveling. We've had people in crisis in their health get shipped off to the hospital. We have had one thing after another after another. If y'all are on our one call, you know those things to be true. And then on top of that, we have all the things that are happening across our nation. And if many of y'all had followed me on Facebook, and if you haven't, I'm going to tell the story because it plays an instrumental part about what we're going to speak on this weekend, next week. There had something happen to me. And it's one of those things where you ever get to the point where something clicks and it makes you rethink something that you've always understood? See, I grew up in a town that was 90% African-American. They were 90% blacks. My graduating class, I was the only salt grain in a pepper shaker. Y'all understand? Listen, that culture is what I grew up in. It's everything to me. I mean, you talk about gatherings and family and brotherly love. It is there. It's there in abundance. It's literally some of the greatest times in my life. We're in South Alabama in a 90% community of black individuals. My best friends, and even I have family members, and I'll bring them up next week, that are African American, and it kills me to think, because I've never known this hatred. Never. I have never felt it in society. I have never experienced this fear from one race to the other. To me, it has always been, we've been integrated. We were all a part of the same family. I grew up in it. It was part of who I was. And it wasn't until this past week where I realized the fear. I realized I'm not in South Alabama anymore. I realized that when people look at me, they don't see my roots, and they don't see everything about who I am. They see something different. They see somebody who is different. Y'all remember to pray for our church members. I was going to the hospital to visit one of our church members in health crisis. And as I pulled up, and there's, y'all seen that entrance way right there on the side street of the hospital. There's no lines. There's no nothing. Individual is in the middle of the road coming out. Apparently, he didn't understand that was a two-lane entrance and exit. And as I was pulling in, I was on my motorcycle. And as I was pulling in, he began to pull forward, not seeing me. Within a good 6 or 8 feet of each other, you know, we missed each other, thankfully. Nothing was damaged. Nobody got hurt. And I just continued about my merry way. No harm, no foul. I went to park my bike, going into the hospital. And as I am demounting the motorcycle, getting in, the individual that was in the car comes forward. You almost hit me. Now, I found that very humorous because he was in the car pulling forward and I was the one coming into the traffic. He was the one hitting me. And as I screamed back in humor and half, you know, kind of like, let's just roll this over. It wasn't my fault. You were the one that was hitting me. And as I realized something, as I was unbuttoning my vest, the conversations began to change. Tone began to change, and I realized that the black individual who was walking toward me was now running away from me because he was scared. Because when you start doing this and unbuttoning your coat, y'all get what that looks like, right? And I could see it in him, and as he began, and it didn't register with me because I have never known that kind of fear. I have never known it. I have never put it in a place in my life where this was real. And at that very moment, as I was starting to walk into the hospital, I realized he was scared of me for no reason. I want to ask you something real quick. What taught him to fear me? His parents, the experiences, the culture, the news, you name it. The world is telling people to be scared of their neighbors, to be scared of their brothers and sisters, to be scared of others. I wish I'd got his name. I wish I knew where he was. I wish that I could hug him and let him know this, that there is nothing that he has to be scared of about this church or about me or about my family. He is equal, if not better than me. Before you go off and draw your line in the sand about that statement, Paul made this statement, there is no greater sinner than I. I am the chief of sinners. Which made other people look at what? That they were better than he was. I have problems and I have sins like everybody else, but I'll tell you one thing. My Bible tells me to love thy neighbor as thyself. That all men are created equal in the sight of God. That the ground before the cross is level. No man is closer. No man is higher. No man. We are all sinners and have come short of the glory of God. And we need him. I have no right. My family and my church has no right to place themselves above anybody else because of race or wealth or any other y'all know what I'm saying. For no other reason, we have got to be equal. I prayed all week for that guy. I prayed all week for my church people. I prayed all week for my family. I prayed all week petitioning the Lord to help me find peace in the midst of this. Because listen, it was not a peaceful week for me. And this is what the Lord gave me, and I'm preaching out of my abundance and how He taught me and how He's preached to me and how He's helped me this week. And I hope that it can be a blessing and a help to you. We do something interesting here. It's something I grew up with. And just because we don't do it very often anymore, I encourage you to do it with me. If you would, please stand as we read just three verses in reverence to God and His Word as respect is given unto Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 8, 9, and 10. Read like this. He said, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me." This was Paul. He had several different possibilities of what this could be. He doesn't give an exact. Some people believe it was a person. Some people believe it was a physical ailment. No matter what it is, it applies to us in every sense because what happens? He says, "I petitioned the Lord three times that this would be taken from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly," Paul jumps back in, "therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen, right? But I want you to see what the Lord's response here in verse 9. "And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee." You want to know what that translates as? "No, Peter," or "No, Paul, I'm not going to take that from you. But God, I'm uncomfortable. But God, this is aggravating. This is something that I need you to take from me." He did it three times and God said, "I will not do it. I'm not going to answer your prayer." I want to look at how we should respond to that. What we should do when God tells us no. And the spirit we should have while we have that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of your word. And as people come to know you, Lord, help me to hide behind the cross of Calvary today. Lord, that they do not see a man, but they see you and your word and your spirit that speaks to us today. Lord, we love you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. Thank you so much. You may be seated. It's going to be a real quick service today. You can laugh. Definitely couldn't make it as a stand-up comedian. First or 2 Corinthians here, I want us to see something. And it's something that really woke me up to the idea of how God answers my petitions. Read with me. It says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice. He prayed for it three times. First time he didn't get an answer. Second time he didn't get an answer. Third time, he's still petitioning the Lord about the same thing, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, let's just stop right there. My grace is, what's that word? Y'all don't go to sleep on me. We've just started. What's that word?
Sufficient.
Sufficient. That means you need nothing else to survive. You need nothing else to make your life livable. What I give you is plenteous. What I give you is enough. Let me tell you, the earthly person at this point begins to argue with the preacher. I need my cable. I need my Dr. Peppers and my steaks, and I need vacation, and I need these things. And you begin to roll off all the things if God ever took from you, how hard it would be in life. Listen, God's grace is sufficient. God takes my home, guess what? God's grace is sufficient. And if God takes every clothing I've got, guess what? God is still sufficient. If the Lord takes one of my lungs and I have to struggle to breathe for the rest of my life, guess what? His grace is sufficient. If I have the thorn in my side, whether that be an individual or whether that be a sin or whether that be an ailment, His grace is sufficient. It's the only thing that I need. Let's bring this home. If God takes my heart, my life stops. God's grace is sufficient. How many of y'all know this? I don't need a heartbeat to live. Y'all say amen to that if you agree with it. If you're confused, mumble under your breath. Because I don't want this to pass. Listen, I live on outside of this body. I am an eternal being. I'm an everlasting being at this point on. I will never have a stop point. The Bible tells me that as soon as I die from this place, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So that means that literally when I take my last breath in this world, I take my next breath in eternity. I don't have a stopping point. This body is not the end. This world is not the end. That's the place to amen. The chaos and the hardships and the pains and the sufferings of this world are only temporary. Y'all rest onto that truth. Listen, because that'll get you through a lot of hardships. You ever been broke? I don't think a lot of people are being honest with me this morning. Have you ever been broke? Listen, y'all haven't been broke until you've had to do ramen noodles for 3 meals a day. Amen? And then sometimes you have to scrap that and do 2 meals a day and skip 2 of them. How many of y'all lived off Beanie Weenies and free meals? How many of you involuntarily had to fast because you couldn't afford a meal? Listen, hey, let me know something. How many of y'all know that tough times like that are temporary? When we made it. Listen, I had to work 5 jobs at college. There was one time I had 5 jobs lined up that I had to perform to pay for college and to pay for meals and to pay for all the insurances that I had. Listen, that's rough. Praise God I don't have to do that again. You had kids that, it is just as bad. How many of y'all know when you feed a kid, it's like emptying out the grocery store? To this day, when we take our kids to the grocery store, just randomly, food just shows up in our shopping carts because the kids know that if I just throw this in there, she won't notice. And what do? You end up paying for it because you don't want to walk back. Listen, times get tough. Let's switch gears with finances and go to health. How many of y'all have ever been through a sickness or a hardship? By the raise of hand, how many of you made it through? Oh, I've got stories, guys. I woke up in an ambulance with cords coming out of my chest. I've been this close to death. I can't tell you how many times. Listen, and it doesn't scare me anymore. There's been so many times in my life where I've recognized that life is temporary, but so is pain. So is hardships. Granted, some are longer than others. Granted, some things you will carry to your grave, but know this, the statement doesn't change. The hardships are always temporary. Because if we believe in heaven, we're not going to carry that stuff with us. It's temporary. But here's the thing. That grave is where we begin to rub raw. That's where the practical Christianity begins to peek through in this text. I'll stop. He tells us here, he says, listen. He says, Lord, I petition you, take these things away from me. And God says, I will not. Now listen, nobody likes to be told no. I get that. Nobody likes to be told no by their bosses, to be told no at a drive-thru. We don't carry that anymore, sir. Nothing makes me so aggravated as to go to order something, and it's on the menu, and they say, oh, we're all out. Some of y'all, if y'all know what I'm talking about, you boil up on the inside when somebody tells you no. Well, we can't give that to you. I have a very visual problem with my emotions. I'm thin-skinned, and so if I get mad or embarrassed, my skin gets really red real fast, and I can't help it, and I do a pretty good job of attaining my emotions and containing them, making sure that they don't go wild, but I can't contain this, you know, okay? Yeah, some people get it. It's temporary. But sometimes we got to fight stuff to the grave, and that's what gets us. And Paul had to fight this to the grave. Paul had to take whatever it is that God was telling him, no matter how you interpret the text, no matter where you're going from, but the problem was is that Paul had an issue, and God wasn't willing to take it away. So how do we deal with this? How do we understand what Paul's feeling here? Well, there's three things I want us to come to know. First thing is this, is that we were not made to be pleased. Did I misspell something? I mean, that does happen. We are not made to be pleased. I think I did right. Listen, the whole reason that you were put here was not so that God could just lavish you with blessings. Ease and enjoyment was not why you were put on this earth. It was not why you were given life. It was not why you were given a purpose. Your purpose is more than just self-gratification. Matter of fact, I have found the most fulfilling in my purpose life when I say no to myself and I say yes to others. I feel like I'm living my life the best way possible when I deny myself and to my pleasures and I am able to give forth to others and let their lives have a little bit of sunshine in the midst of their storm. This passage tells me that we weren't made to please, we were made to serve others. You look back at what Jesus told Paul here in verse 9. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. He says, so Paul, when you feel weak, no matter what it is that you're fighting, he says, listen to this. That means that what I have made you for, your purpose, becomes more strong. You lean upon me more, and I'm able to do more through you when you stop looking at how hard things are and you start realizing that your mission, your purpose, is more than just to be pleased. Now, we get this a lot of backwards in our culture. We do. Because everything we buy does what? Makes things easier, or we enjoy them. Everything. Anybody want to contend with that? I can go down the aisles at Walmart and tell you, this is for enjoyment, this is for enjoyment, this is for enjoyment, this is for enjoyment. This is for entertainment. This is for luxury. And you can't always have just one product. You have to have the one product and the plus product. Amen? And then the premium and the platinum product. Why? Because people want it easy. Life is not about, I knew that was going to happen. Life is not about being easy. Wake up, wake up, wake up. You're embarrassing me. All right. Life was not meant to be easy. Our emotional state does not always have to be in a positive one. Sometimes we take the negative. Matter of fact, I almost threw this verse up there. It's one that I really enjoy. And as I've mentioned it several times here in the lately. And that Jesus says, if you want to follow me, what's he tell people? Y'all finish the verse. Take up thy and. I don't know about y'all, but a cross doesn't seem easy to me. That's what they killed Jesus on. That has an end date. That tells me if I do this, it's got to be something I take all the way to the end of my life. The cross doesn't seem easy, and the world is not supposed to be easy, but that's what we strive for. And we need to get out of that mindset that the world is not supposed to bend us, and more importantly, God's not supposed to bend us. Because when we take what our prayers normally revolve around, the ease of ourselves or the ease of others. Tell me if I'm wrong. Lord, would you please bless the missionaries in their work? Lord, please let peace be upon our nation. Is that not the ease of our nation? Lord, don't let me go through hardships. Lord, don't let me go through the fire. Lord, heal me from this disease, this problem, this hardship. Tell me if not every single prayer is for our ease. And our culture will tell you this. If you do not get your prayers answered and God doesn't want your ease, then he's not real. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches us that hardships will come and that he's not going to take it away from us, but he's going to help us through it. Because his strength is even stronger in our weakness. I want you to know that. God's not always going to take the cancer away. And God's not always going to heal you instantaneously. And God's not always going to promise you a peaceful life. There's not a single life that doesn't have conflict. Conflict in a fallen world is necessary. It's going to happen. You're going to fight with your neighbors. You're going to fight with different races. You're going to fight with bigotry. You're going to fight with being labeled something that you're not. You're going to fight with people over and over and over again. And you shouldn't ask God, hey, I don't want to fight. You should pray, Lord, when the fight comes, give me my strength. Don't give me a life of ease, God, but give me a life I can fully give in to and that I can let you be my strength. Our life is not meant to be pleased. Our life is meant to be service to others. Second thing, when God says no, he says no for a good reason. I find it pretty interesting here about Paul. How many of y'all think Paul was a pretty godly man? You know, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. I think that's a pretty moniker to put on your necklace there. I mean, that's a pretty great honor. He built more churches in the New Testament than any other disciple. Matter of fact, you could even go so far, depending on your interpretation, where Paul even died and that he saw heaven. He was at the brink of death and God gave him back his life to say, no, you need more. His church, when he was getting ready to go to Rome, his church said, listen, if you go to Rome, they put a rope around him and say, you will be shackled and killed if you go to Rome. And he politely and lovingly looked back at his church and says, listen, if I'm going to die, then so be it, because that's where God wants me. How many of you think, wow, what a man? Some of you are thinking, wow, what a stupid man. But the truth of the matter is that he was a godly man that would do anything to honor God and to put forth the gospel. More so, he would lay down his life for the furtherance of the gospel. I find it very hard to find a more godly individual in the New Testament. Now, he wasn't perfect. Matter of fact, I love to preach how Paul was imperfect. But I want us to see something. If a man that accomplished that much, you would think God would answer his prayers. Has that ever crossed your mind? Maybe not by the words, but maybe you thought that if I could only be perfect, if I could only do better, God would answer more of my prayers. If I prayed more, God would answer more of my prayers. If I read the Bible more, if I went to church more, God would answer my prayers. That is not a stipulation. Let me tell you how God answers prayers: when it's in His will. It's not based upon your righteousness, and it's not based upon your works. It's not based upon anything other than His will. Now, we do know this in Scripture, that there are times where His will gets postponed. And he allows people to answer their prayers even against what it is that He wanted. How many of y'all remember, if I'm not mistaken, it was Mount Sinai where Moses was up getting the Ten Commandments, and as he was coming down, the people were doing what? Do you remember? They were worshiping a false god. And so God just gets His deity like baseball and gets ready to chunk it at them. He's getting ready to wipe the plain with them. He says, I'm done with these people. Every time I turn my back, every time I go to do something for them, they go off and worship another god. I'm done with them. He's getting ready to smite them, and Moses goes, wait! Lord, don't do this, lest the others who look upon us mock You. Are these not Your people? Please, Lord, give them grace and give them mercy. And what happened? God spared their lives from the petition of one man. There is power in prayer, and God does feel the emotions that we feel, and He does move mountains for you and for me, but that isn't 100% all the time. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, how many of y'all think when they were loading them up into the furnace, they were praying really hard? Listen, if they're getting ready to chuck me into a furnace where the guys who are getting close enough to it are passing out dead, Lord, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't, please don't. When Jonah got swallowed up by the whale, or when he was in the storm, rather, how many of y'all think he was praying, Lord, just calm the storm, let me leave? God doesn't always answer our hardship trials. Sometimes we have to go through it. Either be for our benefit or benefit of others, we have to go through those things. And it's not based upon our righteousness. It's not based upon anything other than His will. God has no pleasure in telling us no. He's not maniacal. He's not evil. That was a great place to say amen, by the way. He doesn't tell us no because He hates us or disciplines us. He doesn't have any enjoyment of taking us behind the woodshed and correcting us. He has no pleasure in doing those. But He tells us no as a father tells his son. Sometimes it's not beneficial. Sometimes it's not beneficial at that moment. Sometimes you have to say no so that they will develop as an individual, so they're not given everything and spoiled. Sometimes you have to say no for their safety. Sometimes you have to say no, even if they really want it. You have to say no, don't you? Dads, moms, sometimes we just have to say no. And it's not because of any other reason other than we're trying to do what's best for those who petition us. God does the same thing. He is our Father, and He does say no. My last point. We were not made to be pleased. When God says no, it's for a good reason. Before I get to my last point, let's look at this one. I love this verse. This came to me. Last week I was doing devotions. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 8. This was a prayer for the individual. He says, remove far from me any vanity and lies. So far, so good. Then he says, neither poverty nor riches. I found that to be the most interesting because, let's just face it, who wants to be rich? Anybody want to be poor? See, we don't have a problem with things swaying to our better, do we? I don't have a problem if some guy wants to drop $1,000 in my pocket. I don't have a problem if somebody gives me a winning lottery ticket. I don't have a problem with accepting gifts. I don't know about you, but when I was like, you don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Somebody's going to give you $1,000? Listen, God bless you. That's all I can give you back. He says, but neither give me poverty nor riches. He says, but this is how he ends his prayer. He says, feed me with food convenient for me. Lord, you look at me, you tell me where I stand, and whatever you give me, I will be content therewith. So if you end up giving me $1,000, I'm going to be content with that. If God leads me to give $1,000 to somebody, I'm going to be content with that. You see, we're naturally drawn to move in our flesh to one way or the other. Nobody wants to be poor. Everybody does want a little extra money to spend. But what this man's prayer was this. He says, wherever I find myself at, whether I be rich, whether I be poor, Lord, help me to maintain this, that it is for my benefit. Feed me with that food which is convenient for me. If I can eat steak, let me eat steak. But if I have to eat ramen noodles twice a day, then so be it. We don't see his prayer, Lord, I only want riches. Lord, I want things easy. He says, my prayer is this. Now, Lord, whatever you give me, that I'll be content with. God says no for a good reason. Lastly, prepare for hardships. Pray for peace. I believe this is where we should be, people. And if you're tired, if you want to go home, and listen, you don't want anything to do with this air conditioning and padded pews anymore, and leave with this. Prepare for hardship. The Bible teaches me this. We live in a fallen world. Y'all say amen. I mean, things are going to get tough. When Adam sinned, he cursed not only Adam and Eve when they both sinned. I don't want anybody to say I'm a sexist now. Adam and Eve both sinned. They both partook of the tree. And not only did he curse them, but he also cursed the ground, which I found to be the most interesting part of this. Because now they had to work by the sweat of their brow to provide for themselves. Beforehand, God fed them. And now they've got to work for it, and it's going to fight back. Then you see with their kids what happened with Cain and Abel. Do y'all remember? You talk about a family feud. Family wasn't big then either. You could have moved to another state. Can you imagine the contentions between father and son every time they laid eyes on each other from that point on? You killed your brother! Hardship. The devil's going to come in and he's going to twist the hearts of other people, and he's going to cause people to fight. It's going to cause people to accuse. It's going to cause people to fear. That's not where we should stand. We shouldn't let the devil play with our hearts and play with our minds. Fear is not something that's supposed to belong in you. Peace beyond all understanding is supposed to belong in you. And I'm going to ask you real quick, do you have peace that is beyond understanding? Or do you have fear? Because nobody's going to argue with me on that point, right? God wants us to be peaceful. To be wise as serpent, as gentle as dove. They have the peace that passes all understanding. It also tells us the fear. He was not the author of fear. So when fear is a part of our lives, no matter what it is, fear for finances, fear of war, fear of feuds, fear of anything, know this, that God did not put that in you. There's a spiritual war fighting for your heart and my heart and everybody in this room. Know this. Not everybody's going to choose the right way. Did y'all hear me? Not everybody's going to want peace. Not everybody's going to want to make things right. Not everybody's going to want to have a solemn relationship with their father. Sometimes they just want to throw a brick. Sometimes they just want to throw a punch. Sometimes they just want to fight and yell and scream. They want to get heard. And I get that. The Bible tells me that when other people choose wrong and it hurts me, 70 times 7, you forgive them. Prepare for hardship. This will not be our last battle. Matter of fact, if you would like to entertain me to give a distant prophecy, the fighting in the streets ain't going to stop in the streets. You thought the shooting in churches is and the hardship that churches face are times of old? Listen, it's only going to get worse from here on out. This is the most vulnerable place that you and I could ever be, and it's going to get hard. And I'm going to ask you something. Do you have peace or do you have fear? If there's even the slightest bit of fear in your lives, I want you to pray. Because listen, I can't take that from you. And there's no preacher, there's no speaker alive that can take fear from your heart and get it away from you. There's only one person in the world that can do that. That's Jesus Christ. Prepare for the hardships. Pray for peace. I want to ask you something. I understand that we're all going through hardships and we're all going through difficulties. But as we're getting down this, I want us to pray for peace. God's not always going to rescue you from your hardships. Didn't happen with Paul. Didn't happen with me. If we had testimony time, there'd be tens, if not everybody in this room, that tells you that hardships are going to come and we're just going to have to go through them. Prepare for those hardships. God's seldom going to make it easy for you. One illustration, I'm going to leave with what I believe God wanted me to leave with. How many of y'all know I love football? Anybody else? Football season's on its way. I'm hoping that the coronavirus stuff is gone. Listen, football is my bread and butter. Like, it is everything to me. Auburn football. Whew! I love an underdog story, and that's what Auburn is. They're good, but they never get the credit that they deserve. You know, they call it the Green Monster. It's an uphill turf that every individual has to run in to get to the field. That every winning battle starts uphill. And they have to tackle that hill every single time they come to practice, every single time they come to a game. They climb that hill. Storms make us stronger. Hardships make us tougher. Makes us more dependent upon Him. You agree with that? And it doesn't matter how hard things get, I know my Bible and I know my God tells me He will be there with me and I will have victory. Victory is assured. It is something that I will always be a part of my life. I will never lose. You take my life, guess what? To die is gain. To live is Christ. No matter what happens to me, whether it be life or illness or sick or poverty, no matter what happens, I will win. This is how I want to end. God will not try to buy your affections. I can't tell you how many people I've met. They put God on the line. They say, God, if you'll just answer this prayer, I'll serve you. How many of you, be honest, you've said those prayers? God, if you'll heal me from this sickness, I will serve you and I will give you everything. God, if you will just rescue my sweetheart, Lord, if you'll just stay this disease, Lord, if you'll just stay this life in the midst of this crisis, Lord, I'm broken and I need you. And if you would just do this, you begin bargaining with God. I'll do this. I'll do that. God's not trying to buy your affection. You give God an ultimatum, and He's just going to say, why are you giving me an ultimatum? I'm not saying that God won't answer those prayers, because I'll be the first person to admit this. I'm guilty of that, and God answered my prayers. And I believe I've suffered a lot because of that too. Because what I asked for was something I didn't need. God's already paid the biggest price for you. He laid down His Son so that we wouldn't have to bargain. Jesus made the statement in His ministry. He says, if they didn't believe me and they fought against me, and me being God and being perfect and have nothing wrong with me, how much more so are they going to fight with you? He says, they're going to step on you and they're going to fight you and they're going to aggravate you. He says, and this is the truth. I'm not going to take that away, but I'm going to help you through it. God's paid the biggest price to not give you a life of ease, but to help you through your hardships. It's high time we accept the hardships. We accept the hardships. We get put on our knees and we pray before God to help us get through it. How many of you think that's worth praying about? We're done. No more songs. No more sermon. This is your moment. The official service is done. Now the only thing that's left is between you and God. And I want us to, if you believe this, if everything I've preached to you has been like, right on, preacher, that's exactly the way I feel, then listen, time we do this again. But if there's fear in your life, there's hardships in your life, and you don't know why, this is where we make things right with God. Let's pray together. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Heavenly Father, Lord,